and their relationship with the
Blog
court.
Talk Radio.
And it's important that we understand that this coming September 26th will be the day of the Feast of Trumpets of Rosh Hashanah. It's important that we understand that the people of Israel around the world, but mostly, of course, in the land of Israel, in the state of Israel, will gather together in their synagogues, and they will blow trumpets, and they will have a holy convocation, a Sabbath day. They will not work, and they will be together right before the Lord. This will be the culmination of a whole month that is already begun of asking God forgiveness. Slichot, we say in Hebrew, forgivenesses or forgiveness or asking God to forgive them. That this is something they've already been doing in the last few days and weeks at the Western Wall, Wailing Wall, and other places. And of course, there comes the moment when they come together and they blow the trumpet. And then, of course, the idea is to begin the 10 days of awe between that and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when then they believe faith is sealed and their names are written in the book. Now, let me make it very clear. For believers, we're not waiting for any festival to cause us to have our names written in the book of life of the Lamb.
Amen.
The minute we became believers, that was the moment our names were already written in the Lamb's book of life. For the nation of Israel, as a nation, that event has not happened yet. The moment when they will come together, they will see him whom they pierced, as Zechariah chapter 12 says, as he returns with his feet on Mount of Olives, as Zechariah 14 says. This is the moment when they will collectively, as a nation, all of Israel, at the very end of the tribulation, will acknowledge him as Messiah. As Romans 11 says, then all of Israel will be saved. We must remember that just as the first four festivals, the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and Pentecost, just as they were fulfilled in Israel with the people of Israel, right before the God of Israel, the last three will also be fulfilled in Israel with the people of Israel and the God of Israel. And they are a picture of God's plan of salvation for them and, of course, for the rest of the world. And so we must be very, very careful when we come to look into the prophetic interpretation of the festivals of Israel. In fact, the book of Colossians is telling us, do not judge anyone Amen. For a food or drink or Sabbath or new moons or holidays, for these are the shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. For us, the believers, the shadow is no longer that which we refer to, operate by, and excited about. For us, the substance has arrived. For us, we know that our Redeemer lives. We have a personal relationship with him. We do not need any festival to foreshadow it. We do not need to have our names written in the future. We do not need any certain event to happen for our names to be written in the future. The minute we become believers in Jesus Christ, the minute we confess with our mouth, we believe in our hearts, not only that he was born, not only that he died for our sins, but that he resurrected and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. The minute we understand that he is God who came to us in the form of a man, the minute we understand that he completed, he finished everything. It is finished, he said on the cross. The minute we understand we are no longer under the law, the minute we understand that the law was never designed to save anyone, the minute we understand that the law was the nanny, the tutor, the shadow, but the substance is of Christ, that's the point where we understand that we are waiting for his return any minute, any day, any week, any month, any year. Paul lived that type of life of expectation. He was eagerly waiting for the Lord to come and take the church and him, of course. That is exactly what he communicated to the church of Thessalonica when he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And that's where we will always be with him. For Paul, there was no a Jewish holiday that had to happen. There was no tribulation that had to have already begun. It was an imminent expectation of an imminent return of Christ without anything that has to happen. However, for the people of Israel, for the nation of Israel, things must happen. The Bible is very clear in the book of Daniel in the ninth chapter regarding the 70 weeks that were designed for the nation of Israel and for the city of Jerusalem. The Bible talks about the fact that 69 weeks have already took place, and that 69th week was when Jesus himself came and offered himself, not for anything that he has done, but the 70th week, which is the 7 weeks tribulation that will start at the moment the Antichrist will rise. It is also designed for Israel and for Jerusalem. And it also will be that chapter that eventually produced the salvation of Israel as a nation. Of course, as 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, when a Jew, even today, comes to the understanding that Jesus is the Messiah, that veil is taken away, that only Christ can remove that veil. Throughout history, any Jew that accepted Christ had that veil removed through Christ because of his faith in Christ. But as a nation, Israel is still blinded. As a nation, Israel is still expecting the coming of the Messiah. As a nation, they will find out that there is no return of Messiah or no coming of the Messiah until the very end of the tribulation. And unfortunately, as Zechariah chapter 13 says, two-thirds of them will perish, and only the last 30 will bring through the fire, and he will, of course, have them as his. So ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to say here is this. The Feast of Trumpet for the Jews, the Feast of Trumpet is a shadow of the return of Jesus with us for Israel. The Feast of Trumpet will be fulfilled exactly at the exact timing of when 10 days later Yom Kippur will be fulfilled, and right after the Feast of the Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled, just as the first four spring holidays were fulfilled exactly at the same biblical timing between one another, the last three of the fall will be fulfilled also at the same biblical timing between one another.
Wow.
So if the Feast of Trumpet is all about the rapture of the church, how can Yom Kippur take place exactly 10 days later? How can the Feast of Tabernacles can happen right after Yom Kippur? What I'm trying to say is this. Our belief is that Jesus can come perhaps even today. We don't have to wait for any feast to be celebrated in Israel. Israel has to wait for a feast that is happening and celebrated in Israel. In fact, remember, they will look at him whom they pierced. They will come together. The nation of Israel will come together in Jerusalem to celebrate. It will be not the trumpet of God that is going to be heard when we are raptured, welcoming us to heaven. It will be the trumpet of men that will blow the trumpet as they are required in Leviticus chapter 23 in verse 22. What I'm trying to say is that for us, the believers, there is no need to get excited every Feast of Trumpet thinking that our rapture is now happening. Because if the rapture is happening on the Feast of Trumpet, we are disqualifying, we're dismissing any other day of the year. Okay. But if he can come at any given day, any moment, perhaps today, I'm not trying to underestimate the rapture's timing. In fact, I'm telling you it can happen even before. It can happen in a few minutes. We don't have to put our hopes on a specific date on the calendar of Israel. This calendar of the Jews is for the Jews to celebrate the feast that they celebrate as Jews. Thankfully, we know the substance and we don't have to rush and run all the way to the shadow anymore. And this is exactly the same as we read in Numbers chapter 9 about the red heifer. The red heifer ashes are the requirement of the Old Testament to basically cleanse some people who wants to go to visit the house of the Lord from death impurity. The red heifer was a foreshadow of the blood of Christ that can turn the impure pure and not the pure impure. And this is exactly why what we need to remember. We don't have to wait for any red heifer.
Come on, brother.
And let me make it very clear. Now that Jesus has come already, and now that we know the way, the truth, and the life, in reality, even Israel doesn't really need anymore a red heifer, because a red heifer will not cleanse them from any sin.
Yeah.
It will give them the false assumption that they are now clean and can visit a temple, and a temple that will only be built as a part of an international agreement that will allow Jews to build a temple on the third holiest site to the world, to Muslims today, something that can only happen when the Antichrist is ruling, of course, and that is probably part of the 7 years peace deal that he signed, that he will break, as Daniel and Second Daniel 9 and Second Thessalonians says, he will break right in the middle. He will enter into that temple and he will declare himself as God from that temple. And so anything that has to do with the third temple has nothing to do with the church. The church has to be taken out of here before the rise of the Antichrist that marks the beginning of the tribulation. The church is not to be excited about the third temple. The church is not to be excited about those things that are actually going to confuse and deceive the Jewish people to think that they do have a way to God now, even without Christ. Let me tell you very clear. Throughout my almost 50 years of life, I've seen enough times of red heifers coming and going. In fact, in 2018, a red heifer was born in Israel. We always hear about their arrival. We never hear what happens to them because obviously within a few months or years, they're being disqualified. A white hair or some other color is growing out and then that's it. They're no longer qualified. Yes, rabbinical teaching is that there were only 9 red heifers in history. Yes, Rabbi Maimonides says that the 10th one will come by the Messiah himself. Yes, for the Jews, it's a messianic sign. Yes, for the Jews, it is full of excitement. But for us who know exactly what the third temple is going to bring about for the Jewish people, first, the deception of the Antichrist, that he may be the one who brings peace, and then how he reveals his true face when he declares that he is God from that temple. These are bad news. This is the moment when Israel will go through a worse tribulation, a worse Holocaust than the one of World War II. Daniel 12 is saying it is such a trouble that there was never such a thing since they became a nation. It will be terrible. It will be horrific. But there will be that remnant of Israel that, according to Revelation 12, will be hidden, prepared in the desert to be taken back to the land. And on that day of Yom Tu'ah, the day of trumpeting, they will see him whom they pierced, and they will eventually accept him as Lord. And then they will have the entrance into the millennial kingdom that will be established in Jerusalem. And once again, Israel will be a nation that the whole world will look up to. Once again, Jerusalem will be the center of world leadership and rule. And it's going to be amazing. But until then, as Christians, we need to remember the Feast of Trumpets is for Israel, and the rapture can happen any day now. Let's remember that. Let's not let sensationalism and false excitement that will lead, of course, to great deception. Let's not let that one confuse us. Let's remember that he said he's coming quickly. Let's remember, he said to us regarding the rapture, no one knows the day and the hour. Let's not try to guess. Let's not try to sensationalize things that are not there in the scripture. Let's remember what Leviticus 23 is all about. And let's pray for the salvation of Israel as they are expecting their Messiah. That more and more, just as 2 Corinthians 3 says, will understand who he is and the veil will be lifted from their eyes. Thank you. God bless you. And remember, this September 26th is not about the rapture. It's about Israel celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. Let's remember to wish them happy Rosh Hashanah and pray for their salvation. Thank you, and God bless you.
Join the Amir Sarfati and Behold Israel channel on Telegram. Here you will receive daily updates and audio messages from Amir. You can also take part in our community and reply to comments. Getting started is easy. Simply download Telegram from the App Store, then visit the Behold Israel Telegram channel in your browser. From there, click Preview Channel, then click Join. That's it. See you on Telegram.
Well, there. I think that is awesome. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit led me to that tonight, because that cleared up some things for me. Let's see here.
It was very interesting, I thought.
Well, I've been noticing on YouTube, there's been a lot of people talking about the red heifer, and I've seen it, and I better study it, and I better figure out what that's all about, and I probably better study that, and I better figure out what that's all about, and then I never got it studied to figure out what that's all about. But, you know, when you find men of God, like Brother Amir, not only is he a Messianic Jew that has found Jesus, but he's an amazing Bible scholar that that really will help us know and find out what I love about listening to men of God like him is that turn the video back on, that he knows more by the nature of being a Jewish man born there. He knows more by nature than what you and I could know by study. And, of course, that's always going to give you a greater understanding. And, you know, what a thought. The red heifers for Israel. That was something in the book of Numbers. We don't need a red heifer. Can I get an amen out of anybody? We have a spotless lamb.
Amen.
We have a spotless lamb. His name is Jesus. And he already paid the price 2,000 years ago. Whether there's people on the face of the earth that don't receive that fact yet or not, that's immaterial, because Jesus came and gave his life by many signs and wonders and miracles. And thank God for his wonderful blessing in our lives every day. And I hope you're, I know all y'all are like me. You love to seek and study and find and grow and develop. We just love it. Now, I got really, really good news tonight, because this morning, on the morning program, I, hooking up Blog Talk Radio, and I just dropped down real quick to see what the nations were looking like, and we added a new nation to the nations that are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm really excited about this one, because this nation is one that's not supposed to have anything to do with Jesus at all. It's the nation of Kazakhstan. Now, many people don't know where that is. Well, I can just do it. I'm figuring this out. I really am. Watch this. Let me share the screen with you real quick. You can see Kazakhstan. It's not on this map. This is what our map looks like. Nope. This is what our map looks like. Anyways, it's this little nation right there. Now, this big one is Russia. Down here is India. And then you've got all your Middle Eastern countries, Turkey. Turkey's here, I believe. And then this is Kazakhstan, very, very extreme Muslim nation that is not open to the gospel at all. And yet, I get this. This is what I love. Not only is it on our list, but they actually have reached 1% of our listening audience. Now, you might say, well, you know, that's not very big, but what it is very awesome that somebody there has not only come and found us on Blog Talk Radio, but they found us enough times and shared it with enough people that they actually not just are listening from that nation, they actually made the 1% so that we could see their nation, that they are listening. And we say, Father in heaven, continually help these nations to be able to show up so that we can see that they're actually there. Put them on our list very specifically and pray for them every single day. I mean, I agree, Sunday, that how amazing is our God and what he's doing in our life. Brother Roger Oxley, good to see you, man. Brother Roger Oxley, make sure you send this to your that same link to Jerry Lynn and invite her, because she was saying she wanted to be a part of our program also. Now, if you didn't get to see the first part, we had Brother Amir Safadi on, and every year when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement, many people get all fired up that the rapture has to happen on this day. Not that it can't, and not that it wouldn't be a great day for Jesus to come. As soon as you name the day or the hour that Jesus is going to come, you don't know what you're talking about, because Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord will come. And so you and I give ourselves to just continually being ready. Now, it's not my word for tonight. We're going to actually talk tonight about the joy of seeking Jesus and actually finding Jesus, all right? So that's our topic for tonight. But I want to read that he referred to as he was teaching us there. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Unshare that. Get you guys back over here where I can see you. First, did I say Corinthians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Somebody shout, I love the word. I love the word. The majestic word of Almighty God. Now,
I do love the word.
For those of you who might not be used to somebody breaking in and talking behind the preacher as he begins to preach, it's all right. I know these that are talking, and they're good folk. and they're not just blurting out. We're practicing having church. If we were in church, Sister Rebecca and Sister Phyllis would say amen out loud.
Absolutely.
I was waiting for that amen. Amen. And so would Brother Roger, and so would Sister Cindy. We would all be shouting. We would be having what we call church. Now, you might not be used to church that responds like that and says amen and waves the handkerchiefs and stands up and says, preach it. Why don't you preach it or something like that? But the majority of us, we would enjoy that type of preaching because that's who we are in God. And here comes Brother Roger. That's awesome. Brother Roger is known for the great amen.
I'm here.
With the great amen.
With the great amen.
Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I said verse 1, didn't I? It's not verse 1. Let's go down to verse 1, 3, 13. And we'll read verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 11. So this is talking about the rapture of the church, the catching away, whatever it is that you like to use in your proper biblical definition. This is the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's not just Paul sitting around saying, I better write about this. This is Paul as a scribe for the Holy Spirit, inspiring the word of God that we're going to need in the day that we live to understand. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. Jesus didn't say there won't be sorrow. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, or they shall receive comfort. Keep reading. He's talking about people who have no hope. Don't let that be you. You and I have the hope of the resurrection. Even if we don't know if that person was born again, we know that our God is faithful to the very end, to the very last second when somebody crosses over into eternity. If they make that decision and say, I receive you, then we've heard hundreds of stories of people who have been on their way to hell and said, no, I am a child of God, and brought back up and come back to the earth to actually tell a story. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin is one of those. He actually went to hell twice and came back and then preached the gospel for 65 wonderful years here on the earth. Anyways, 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus, those who died being believers. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, that's going to be us. Want to say it? That'll be me. Will by no means precede them who have fallen asleep. 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming on a big shout. And with the voice of an archangel. The angels, the captain of the Lord of the host of heaven. With the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, that's us, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. you and I are to comfort one another and remind one another Jesus is coming. Be ready. It doesn't matter how many times you've heard that statement made. It doesn't matter how many preachers you've heard preach that message. It doesn't matter. Jesus is coming, and he's coming very soon. And the reality is, it's like Brother Amir was teaching right there, it can be any moment. There is no earthly action that's got to happen yet that's got to be fulfilled for Jesus to come. Literally, he can come at any moment of time. Now, some people have had a really bad religious experience with a church or an organization or a denomination or a preacher or, you know, who knows, all kinds of religious problems. Wherever you have humans, there's problems. And I encourage you tonight, if you're one of those who've just had a bad experience with religion, I mean, it's all kinds of reasons people have had bad experiences. I mean, you could have an abusive pastor, or even the deacon board could have been nasty, or the elder board, or you may have been raped by somebody that was a church leader, or everything just went absolutely opposite of what God said in the word, in your life, your family, your marriage, whatever. And you had a bad religious experience. Don't hold it against God, and don't hold it against your future and your eternity that's going to be spent with God being a ruler over a city somewhere. Don't jeopardize your eternal destiny over a hurt feeling, a wound, a sorrow, a sadness, any whatever the words are used. Don't do that. Forgive them and begin to walk after God and chase after him. Let's keep reading. For when they say, let's see, verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not of the darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Say this, I am of the light and of the day.
Of the light and of the day.
Amen.
The great amen.
The great amen. I'm of the light and of the day, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. I believe that you and I, because of our diligence in studying and reaching the world and being determined to be right here and reach the world, I believe that we're going to hear the shout and be like, there it is. No surprise. There it is. Hallelujah. And then you'll look up and you'll be like, and here comes the trumpet. You know, what is that trumpet going to be like? The scripture says that all men will see him. So it's not going to come on us as a thief. And then there's going to be many who will not be in the ark. And they're going to miss that point in history where the trumpet sounds, the shout comes, Jesus is in the clouds, and you and I are going up. Can you imagine? I'm going to say this with all of the severity that it needs to have. Can you imagine that you're standing there and you watch your mom go to heaven after she's told you about the rapture over and over? You watch your dad go to heaven and you're like, oh, I just missed the rapture. Don't be that way. Don't be the belligerent husband or the, what's the Bible caller? The dripping wife that misses the rapture and watch your mate go. Don't be that person. Make a decision right now. I am going to be ready when he comes for me. And I'm going to be watching and be ready every single moment of every single day. Now, I know you're going to be in the shower not thinking about the rapture, and you got to do all that other stuff. But it's not about you have to think about rapture 24/7. It's that you live a life connected with God, walking with God, diligently seeking him every single day, and abundantly finding him. When you diligently seek him, you will abundantly find him, because he comes to bring to us abundant life. Somebody want to say thank God for abundant life?
Thank God for abundant life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
My diligent search produces abundant life.
Thank God for abundant life.
Amen. Let the church say yeah. We might get so fired up tonight, we all just get up and start dancing a little bit.
You know, I have to keep my thing muted because there's a lot of people
here. Hi, Barbara, Ann, and everybody. Verse number 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. Now, the word sober there doesn't mean not drunk. It means alert, paying attention, aware of your surroundings, paying attention to your spiritual life, growing and developing. Be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. This is one of our most favorite verses that all of us need to write down so we can share it with other people. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Now, I don't have it done, but I'm going to do it now. I'm going to write 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8, right there. And I'm going to turn over a page, and I'm going to write 1 Thessalonians, what's that, 5, 9. We are not appointed to wrath. That's one of my, it's one of the ways I do it in my Bible. You do it however you want to. But
is that kind of like saying, be angry, but sin not?
Well,
don't get so angry you punch anyone in the face.
Well, yeah, but it also means God's wrath is not going to be poured out on you and I, the children of God.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, that's even better. I agree. But yeah, what you're saying is true. But yeah, this verse is telling us you and I were not appointed to suffer the wrath that's about to come after the rapture happens. That's not our place. God born us again and gave us entrance into the kingdom of heaven so we would miss that wrath. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, 10, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing already. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we usually start at verse 5. Let's just start with verse number 1, and we'll read down through 12. This wasn't in my notes, but it's all right. We're going to just do it anyways and then get to the notes.
Four more hours.
It could very easily be a 4-more-hour night by the verses. That will depend on how receptive and seeking we are in our spirit, man. As Brother Keith Moore would say, you're believing with me, aren't you? Because there's a big difference between people just sitting in a chair and those sitting there saying, come on, Jesus, give me a revelation. Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. There were people writing letters saying the rapture had already happened. People were already caught away. And, you know, I don't know why you would be so stupid to write a letter like that, because you'd be able to tell. It ain't true. There's still good people here. Let no one deceive you by any means. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's a little, that's not capitalized. He is God. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining him, that he may be revealed in his own time. And another way of saying that is he's not going to show up before it's his time in history. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capital he, who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I want you to see this. We say this regularly, but it's just good for us to come back and do it again. Those two capital he's are Jesus. Jesus and his body are the force that are restraining the Antichrist from taking over and being on this earth bringing destruction right now. Jesus is. So, you and I, as we often say, are the hands and feet of Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. But we are his body, the body of Christ. So, Jesus is in heaven. And it says, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. He who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Well, Jesus is already in heaven. So it's not talking about taking Jesus off the earth. He's already there. It's talking about taking his body off the earth, because we're the restraining force on this earth. We have a restraining order that is against our enemy that we have access to use every single day. You want to do it with me? What's that hurricane's name? Ian. And in the mighty name of Ian, you cease and desist. You cease and desist.
Amen. I am in total agreement.
Rainstorm, dissipate. Find the dry, thirsty land, if there is any, and dissipate. And what's that other one? Hang on just a second. There was two of them. And hold on. Tropical depression number 11. We rebuke you. You will not be, turn into a destructive turn. What do you call them things? Hurricane. We rebuke you now. We stand in the authority. We are the restraining force of God. The eye of Ian has been plucked out, and it's just the rainstorm, and now you lose your force in Jesus' name. We say, waters subside immediately. Life return immediately. Emergency aid, get to people immediately in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Say it again. I am the restraining force on the earth.
I am the restraining force on the earth?
Because I am in Jesus.
Because I am in Jesus.
And he
Jesus is in me.
Amen.
Great amen.
Makes you want to get... Makes you want to get right up in the morning and just go right at it. But don't, remember, you ain't boxing with the devil. He's underneath your feet. Jesus already crushed him. Let's keep reading. I'm in verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed, when the Lord, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of a lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Say this with me. I love the word of God.
I love the word of God.
See, that's, that's why I learned to say that. Many years ago, I love the word. Because that says, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, I know that tonight, listening right here, and you, some of you are some of the regular listeners, you still haven't got the depth of the revelation. I got to seek Jesus, not church or a religious form of worship. God wants to be your father. No, God is your father, and he wants you to get that revelation down deep inside. God is the answer to every part of your life. And the sooner that you and I learn to seek him, to shut the whole day down and focus in on God for 5 minutes, and say, oh, y'all, just wait a minute. Let's just focus ourselves in on God. And don't be a weirdo about it. Just do it. And then come back and finish your work. See, they did not, people will not make the rapture because they will not receive the love of the truth. They just want a religious experience. Many people have walked away from God and said, I'm going to pick up philosophy or the study of man, or archaeology, or the study of the stars. Well, that's all right to study that stuff. You just got to let God get in that study and lead you right to him in every bit of that study. Because God's in the center of it all. You can't have design without a designer. You can't have unalienable rights unless they were given to you by a force that's greater than a human. And you and I believe in certain unalienable rights. And if the other political party doesn't believe in it, well, then let it be said very powerfully. They do not believe, as Americans, we have unalienable rights. Well, as soon as you make that statement, you're admitting there's a creator, and you're admitting that there is truth, and you're admitting that today what we are heralding as a wonderful process, and nobody judge anybody for it, is actually a demonic way of thinking and is destroying people's lives. Don't be there. Help them see the truth. Well, goodness sakes alive, these were not in my notes, but it's sure going to work good. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and Good Hope by Grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, I said all of that to introduce us to this. Hebrews chapter 11. And I usually just read verse 6, but I guess I'm going to read 1 through 6. That's what I'm inclined to do. Hebrews 6. No, Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Tonight's title is The Joy of Seeking Jesus and Actually Finding Him. The Joy of Seeking Jesus and Actually Finding Him. There's many people that have introduced us to churches and organizations and great spiritual leaders, and thank God for churches and biblical organizations, you know, ecclesiastical organizations, great denominations that are chasing after God, and great men and women of God who are chasing God. But the bottom line, when you get there, they better teach you to fall in love with God and make God your father, or they're going to make you a disciple of themselves and their organization. And when you stand before Jesus, you won't give an account of the organization. You'll give an account of your life according to the design of God. And then he'll say, did you go where it was I told you to go? And was you a part of where I told you to be a part? Because he places every one of us in the body as he wills. Look at this. Verse of chapter 11, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Now, think about it. The fact that you don't see it means that you are functioning in faith.
Amen.
The fact that you don't see it yet, but you're still speaking it to come to pass, that declares you are standing in faith. It don't matter if it's for health in your body, soundness in your mind, healing in your marriage, in your family, money in your pocket, your business, your job, your profession, your ministry. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're standing in faith, speaking it done, the very fact you don't have it is the evidence that it's coming to pass. The evidence is because you don't see it, but you still speak it. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. How did God make this earth? He spoke it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Genesis chapter 1. And then God began to say, let there be. And there was. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. People say today, your offering isn't important. The very first murder that ever happened was over an offering. Was a religious demon working back then or not? It was. Abel's offering was more excellent. Not because he went there saying, I'm going to be better than you. He just did what was prescribed by God, what was instructed by God. He just did it. He just obeyed. And when he obeyed, he was holy. And his brother got jealous because even though he knew what to do, he didn't do it. There's going to be a lot of people. Just please don't let it be one of you. Please. Who are going to be standing here the day after the rapture going, oh my God in heaven, I just missed the rapture. And now I've got 1260 days. I got to live on this earth with all of hell breaking loose so I can get in that next rapture. Now you're going to know how many days it is because it is at midpoint in the in the tribulation. There will be another rapture on the 1260th day. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Story of Grandpa Adam over and over and over. How God would walk with them in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. And evidently, Enoch just kept talking to God till God came down and talked to him. And one day, God said, Enoch, why don't you just walk on out of here with me and come back where I am? And I think Enoch was like 360 years old when that happened. Say this with me. I choose to walk with God.
I choose to walk with God.
Yes, you do, and so do I. The joy of seeking Jesus and actually finding him. When you think about Brother Enoch, he's just down here on the earth. He's just being him. He's just walking with God every day. And obviously, there came a day where he said, you mean Grandpa Noah, that I could honestly know God like you? And Noah said, or not Noah, Adam. Adam said, well, yeah. Yeah, you could know God just like I did. I think he would come and live with you. Genesis 5, go there with me. Think about this genealogy. In the beginning, these men were living 1,000 years. But see, we were designed to never die. Watch this. Genesis 5, 19 through 24. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So they were not only old, they were having children all the way through it. I think some of us are going to have children in the millennium. I don't have no proof. And a lot of people say there is no proof because God said in heaven, you're like the angels. There's no marrying and giving in marriage, but if you're already married when you go to heaven, walking with God, and you come back to this earth to rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years, we may see these days. I don't know.
Now, any of them is talking about the kingdom on earth.
Say again?
The millennium is talking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, isn't
yeah.
it? Or am I totally wrong there?
No, you're right.
Well, then those who are left behind will still be human.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you and I will be here with them.
So that does not apply to the fact that when you're in heaven, you're no longer flesh and blood to be reproducing.
Right. Right. Well, but people say that all the time, that there won't be any more babies in heaven. People say it. And I don't have a deep theological study to hand you 15 different chapters and verses on it. Just the statement that Jesus said, do you not know you will not, you'll be like the angels in heaven. So and people say that. Let's keep reading. I don't want to get on it because then I'll get off on it. And...
All right, that's, it's not necessary for our lesson tonight. Come on.
Not for this one. But maybe tomorrow night. Anyways. 21, Enoch lived 65 years. Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. It doesn't say he just lived 300 years. It says he walked with God for 300 years. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He had his own personal rapture. One person said, Pastor, do you think God would give me a personal rapture? I don't know. It's not happened any other time in history, but this we know. Learn to walk with God like Enoch. It didn't say Enoch lived 365 years. It says he walked with God. He was known as one who walked with God. And when you come back here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, verse 6 is where I've been trying to get to since I started. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let's speak it conversely. But with faith, it is possible to please him. Hebrews 11, 6. For he who comes to God must believe that he God is. And you could actually, this statement in there, instead of the word must, you could actually put in there, he will believe that God exists. If you're going to come to God, you will have the belief God exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Tonight's message is, tonight's study is the joy of seeking Jesus and actually finding him. We read there in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, where it says that they didn't make heaven. Why? Because they didn't receive the love of the truth. The more you diligently seek God, the more the love of the truth will be in you. And the more you love the truth and you give yourself to this word, the easier it is to seek God. And the more you seek God, the more of the truth there will be that lives on the inside of you. And the more of the truth there is that lives on this inside of you will be the more of the revelation of God that comes to you. Jesus said to the disciples, when they came and asked about the parables, he said, because to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To you it has been given to know. Well, if God puts that desire in every one of our hearts, and the only thing any of us have to do is turn our focus from the earthly to the point of, I am going to seek you, and I am going to make my whole life matter for eternity every single day that I live. I'm going to make it matter. And now the Bible promises He is the rewarder. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Let's look at a couple examples. Now watch this. I'm going to read a couple verses about seeking. Deuteronomy 4:29. Children of Israel are wandering through the wilderness. The book of Deuteronomy is the last, 30 days of Moses' life. He rewrites the whole trip of the years in the wilderness, and he writes it in a way so that he can look at the people and say, now I have said this to you, walk with God. Read this, Deuteronomy 4:29. But from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. Now, here we have God Almighty in the form of Jesus the Lord leading the children of Israel into the understanding while they're still in the wilderness that if you will seek the Lord your God, you will find him when you seek for him with all of your heart. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. There's a whole lot I want to say there, but I'm not going to do it. Jeremiah chapter 11. Look at this one. Jeremiah chapter 11. It's not 11, is it? Jeremiah 29. I'll get it right. Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Now, remember, Jeremiah is the prophet right before they're going into captivity. And he's like, you guys are wicked. The priests are wicked. The prophets are wicked. The leaders are wicked. Stop being so wicked. And he's prophesying now. And this is the letter to the captives. They're now in captivity. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Who's doing the talking here? Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. Jesus is the one who's doing the talking. And he's saying, I know the thoughts I have toward you. You might think, well, God don't love me. Read this. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Those are God's thoughts for his children. But why would your thoughts be anything different for your children? That's what your thoughts are for your children. I had a conversation with my son this morning talking to him about some business things, and it was so encouraging to have my 25-year-old son telling me things he studied and learned that was helping. It was such a blessing to have that conversation. And Joshua, if you're listening, thank you. I love you, son. I love you. But see, that's what I want for my son. If that's what I want for my son, how much more does God want for all of us? Look what he says. To give you a future and a hope. But don't stop there. Many people stop there. 12. Then you will call on me. Hey, Father. Or you might say, Father. Brother Mike Warnke said some of the best prayers you ever pray is when you slide into the bed and say, God, I'm a mess. You will call upon me and you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. These are people who are absolutely rebellious, and they've been carried away captive. And he's saying to them, you will call on me, and you will pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. It's the exact same words of Deuteronomy chapter 4. You will call, you will seek, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Well, when you and I, wait, verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations whereto I sent you. When you and I see that seeking God isn't about theology, it's not about hermeneutics, homiletics, or any of the other big words, it's just you every day seeking God, then it literally puts God in reach in every one of our lives because he wants to be found by you. God, our Father, wants to be found by you. I might say that a little different. God, the God who is your Father, he wants you to find him. God, our Father, wants to be found by you. Let me see if I can say that in a way that people can understand it. God, our Father, is really wanting you to seek him and find him, because when you truly seek him, not religiosity, not denominationalism, not even community faithism, when you seek him, you will find him when you seek for him with your whole heart. Now, those are some of the greatest promises that you will ever find in God's holy word, because what is it telling you? That God is the one who rewards those who diligently seek him. And what did he say in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 12? He said, to him who has revelation, hears it, gathers it, stores it, stewards it, manifest it, to him who has revelation, more revelation will be given. Revelation you got right now set you this free. Think about how much more revelation you're going to get and how much freer you're going to be then. We'll literally speak to a hurricane in the Gulf and it'll cease and desist immediately. We'll mess up every weather pattern that the Weather Channel is trying to make happen and be bad and horrible and wicked. We'll mess them all up. Why? Because we know who we are in God, and we know as sons and daughters of Almighty God that the words that we speak will be words that our Father gives us to speak, and when we speak his words, it's going to come to pass every time. Look at this. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. We saw it in Deuteronomy after 40 years of wandering. We saw it in Jeremiah chapter 29. They're already captives in Babylon, and now here comes Jesus teaching it. Mark chapter 12, somebody shout, I love the word.
Matthew. I love the majestic word,
I God. Love the majestic word of God. Matthew chapter, or Mark, chapter, verse 28, and we're going to go down through 34. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, ask him, that him is capitalized, that's Jesus, which is the first commandment of them all. Now remember, this is a scribe, right? Is that what I said? Scribe? The scribe, yeah. 29. He's the guy that writes the word. He writes the scripture out. That's what they did. They rewrote it and rewrote it, made another copy and rewrote it, made another copy. I'm remembering it. Mom, if you're with us tonight, type it in there. But how many years, how much time it actually took a scribe to write out the law, 5 books? I see. He had answered them, well, ask him, which is the first commandment of all? 29, Jesus said, first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God, all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, that's a pretty big statement, because Jesus is standing there in front of a guy who has written the law, and he knows all 10 of them, and he knows all 613 of them, and he's looking at him like there's no greater law than these. Now, let's do this. Let me see. Where am I at here? Luke. Got to get in the right chapter to find the right verse. Luke 10, I'm not going to read that one because I'll go preaching that.
Never stopped you before.
Well, I'm going to stay focused here. I want to get these verses in here. Oh, we even got good time tonight yet, too. There it is.
That's a good one, Roger.
Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Got to move something here. Let's see if my YouTube is froze up on me. There we go. Here we go. Matthew 22, 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together and said, we got to go deal with this. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions, with all your mind, and then we saw Mark say, all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus just took the whole Old Testament and put them all on those two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other great commandment besides these. That's what he said in the book of Mark. There is no...
Now, you know that Joshua did that, first of all, way back in Joshua.
Oh, yeah.
He first came over after Moses.
Yep.
So Jesus didn't just pop that out for to be cute. He knew the scripture that well.
Yes. Yes. And that's part of that documentation that shows this book is the greatest book there ever was. There'll never be a book that sells more than the Bible. We don't care who they are or what they say they think they can do.
Just between me and you and off the record, the fact is that Jesus was always in the mind of God, always. That he was always with the Holy Spirit in the whole time from the beginning, the foundation of the world, and everything that the Holy Spirit did by way of talking to the prophets about what to write in the scriptures, everything about the Word of God was, Jesus knew that when it was done. He was in the mind of God always.
Yeah.
And he knew everything that was written in the, say, it wasn't like he had to study it as a little child. He already knew it in his mind and soul. Okay. I'm sorry. I shouldn't butt in. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right, folks.
You're doing good.
You're filled with the Word of God. You're filled with the Word.
I love the Word of God.
Out it comes. And Jesus' greatest challenge was that he had to become man, and with all of the divinity that was in him. He had to become a man so he could suffer as a man, so that you and I could look and say,
that's why he had to send his son.
Say again?
God could not die for us because he is life.
Right.
That's why he had to send his son.
And Jesus said, I will go pay the price and be the sacrificial lamb.
I'm going to shut up now. This is a very important lesson you're giving us.
It is. Now, let's go back to Mark 12, and let's go to 31 down through 34. And Jesus said Mark 12, 32 through 34. Bless you, Sunday. I haven't seen anybody else with you over there, but I'm certain that we've probably got some folks with you. We bless all of our friends on Blog Talk Radio, all of you over there on YouTube with us. Thank you for being here and being a part of what we do. We love your friendship and partnership and your prayers. We can tell they're there every single day. Mark chapter 12, verse 32. The scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, this man wasn't just studying the law. He was chasing God. Look what Jesus said. When Jesus saw he answered wisely, he said to that man, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared to question him. Hallelujah. I love it. See, Jesus looked right at that man and said, you're not far from the kingdom. What was he saying? Seek first the kingdom. Seek it. Seek God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will find him. And Jesus said, on that one promise, on those two commandments, all of the law, first five books, all of the prophets hang on those two commandments. What was he doing? He was showing them that covenant is almost over and we're entering into a new one. Our commandments that we live by is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Now watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go there. Brother Amir referenced this, but I want to reference this now from the point of view of you and I learning to love the truth, to receive the love of the truth, get rid of all religious indoctrination and religious overtones that have no life in them. Jesus came to give life. If what you're doing religiously is not producing life in you, and you get to where you're like, this is just, what am I just doing? You gotta start seeking him for him, not church for church, not churchianity for churchianity. You got to seek him. Now look at this. 2 Corinthians, verse chapter number 3. Let's do 10 through 18. Thank you for putting the verses in, ladies. It's wonderful. I truly appreciate it. Any of you that help us get that done, thank you so much. It just really makes a difference for people coming to view it in the future. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 3, and we're going to go down to verse 10. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. And he's talking about the law and Moses receiving the law coming down and he was glowing. 11. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. The law, the prophets were glorious. And yet, Paul said, it's passing away. The veil of the temple has been rent for many years by the time Paul's writing this epistle to the Corinthian church. And so he's like, that covenant's passing away. 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. That means you and I get to be very bold in God because he said, come boldly to the throne room of grace. And we say that in every one of our communion services. Why? Because that is an assignment. That is it's a command. That is a charge from God. When you come into this throne room, come boldly. Don't come begging. Don't come beat down. You're not beat down. Don't come afraid of me. I'm your father. Come full of love and respect for your father. Verse 11 or 13. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, Moses came down the top of the mountain and he was glowing. His physical features were glowing because he had been in the presence of Almighty God on the top of that mountain. He was glowing. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. So if you're only going to read the Old Testament and you're only going to study the law and you're only going to do the feast and all the stuff that's there, well, guess what? You're still operating underneath a veil. But it's not there by God. You pulled it over your own head because you want to be stuck in your religious ways, because as soon as you pull that veil off and you see the glory of God, you got to change. God's going to bring you to change, bring you to growth, bring you to development, bring you to experience the things of God. Verse 13, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. 15. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on the heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, say it with me, I have turned to the Lord. I like that verse, Roger. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Amen, brother. That's a powerful statement. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Who does it? God, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That veil is taken away, and we begin to see Jesus clearly. We begin to get a revelation of the Father clearly. We begin to live in the power of the Holy Spirit clearly. 12 or 17. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Stop saying, I'm bound. Stop saying, I'm confused. Stop saying, I don't know. Stop saying all of that stuff that keeps you bound behind the veil. Why? Because it ain't true. The veil has been taken away. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I just didn't know this. I know you didn't know it, but it's okay that you didn't know it. What you got to do is embrace it quickly, specifically, abundantly, and begin to live in the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. We honestly don't have to have another day of death, another day of sorrow, another day of fear, another day of confusion, another day of any of the effects of the enemy. We're supposed to be living in life and life more abundantly. Look at verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why you got to pick up your Bible. You got to read these words. You got to cause yourself to go to this Bible, pick up these verses, and read them. Get the verse list from tonight, and very, very diligently study these verses very specifically so that you will find them. They'll be hidden in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 111. Let me see if I got it. Psalm 119, 111. Thy word have I hid in my heart? Nope. Where is that one at? Is it verse 11? Yeah. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments, for your word I have hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, lights up your path, and a light to my path. Psalm 119, so I was in 105, and now I'm in 165. Great peace. Great peace have they which love the law. Nothing shall by any means offend them. Nothing causes them to stumble. The veil has been taken away. You and I no longer walk in darkness. Not another day. Psalm 119, 105, and then 165. Both of those are 105 and 165. Both of those were in Psalm 119. Now, watch this. I'm back now to 2 Corinthians 3:18. You can search the verses of the Bible where God judges his wicked children. You could do that. And you could call yourself wicked and feel bad like they did. But you're going to be in the Old Testament. That veil was taken off. And you get to see the glory of God written in the face of Jesus, which we find right here on the pages of God's holy word, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, every one of us who've been born again, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. You see yourself in here. Wait, you might say, Pastor, I still got a few things. Well, old things have passed away and all things have become new. And you got to tell your brain to shut up and let you be what God already made you. Tell your mind that is not who we are. You shut up, brain. That is not who we are. And when it's a fiery dart of the enemy, which is what most of it will be once you're born again and filled with his spirit, you tell that enemy, that's just a picture and that ain't who I am. I am, and then you begin to speak the word of God. I am washed in the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am restored by the blood of Jesus. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me, giving me life inside my mortal body. I am a minister of reconciliation to everyone that I meet. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, and God in heaven is counting on me representing him on this earth right here today. I am a king and a priest unto our God. Unto our God. Think about it. Yep, that's it, Sunday. Got it. That's awesome. Watch this, verse 18. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You heard it in our worship song that we were singing this afternoon. Glory to glory, faith to faith, glory to glory, faith to faith. Take us where we've never been before. What are we doing? We're opening up this book. We're seeing ourselves, the image of who God Almighty is on the inside of us, and that we're the restraining order on restraining force on this earth until Jesus comes to get us. And I am going to tell you right now, you and I are a force to be reckoned with when we will allow Jesus to just break it all away, take it all away, keep it all away, and just give us our total, absolute freedom that we all love and enjoy and want. He said, Jeremiah 29, I will be found by you. You will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Now, I have three other references that go with it. So I'm going to give you the verses, even though I'm not going to read them all tonight. These verses are this. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Mark 5, 1 through 20. The story of the demoniac set free. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And then Luke chapter 8, 19 through 42. Luke 8, 19 through 42. Wait, that's the same story. Hold on, I got to get a different one. It's all right. You can put that reference in there if you already got it. That's fine. Luke 19, 1 through 10. Luke 19, 1 through 10. And Mark chapter 10, 17 through 31. What are these? These are examples of people who were seeking Jesus. Let's read the first one. Let's read Mark chapter 5 verses 1 through 20. I want to read this. Because this is a story. This is the story of Jesus casting the demon out of the man, the Gadarene demoniac. And many people don't see this, but this demoniac was seeking to be set free over and over and over and over and over. And then when Jesus got there and set him free, he was completely grateful for all that God had done for him. Let's just read it. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. All right. Mark chapter 5, open your Bible up and follow along so you can see it with your own eyes. Mark 5, verse number 1, or 2. When he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now you got to think about what the Father is doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And he said, I do none of this of my own power. This is all by the power of my Father working through me. Verse number 6, Mark 5, 6. And always Night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. That doesn't happen by somebody who doesn't want to have anything to do with someone. That happens to a man who is seeking deliverance. That man ran and worshiped Jesus, even though he had many demons on the inside of him. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran up and he worshiped him. Verse 7, he cried out with a loud voice, but this voice is the demon talking. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Well, that's not the man. That's the demon. And the demon is actually saying, I implore you by God. Shut up, you foul devil. Quit trying to use your tongue to say something about our God and imploring by God. Shut up. 8. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. He asked him, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. See, that's what the guy was doing. Where that guy was right on the seashore was a major intersection of roads. And they couldn't do any business through there because that man was in those tombs and he was crying out and he was naked and he was cutting himself and the demons were driving him and nobody could pass by that way. Why did God send Jesus there? To deliver that whole countryside and set that child of Almighty God. Remember, the man ran and worshiped Jesus. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 11, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. All the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine, I love, that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. The unclean spirits went out of the man and entered the swine. And there was about 2,000 swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Of course, everybody in the whole region knew about this demoniac man, demonized man.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you. Good to see
Sister
you.
Sister Leanne is saying hi. Everybody say hi. No, nobody said hi yet. You got to stay.
Hi,
Phyllis.
Right.
God bless you, sweetheart. Thank you. Bye.
Oh.
Hi. How's Roger? And Phyllis?
I'm blessed.
Blessed.
Very blessed.
Hello. Hi for me.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm praying for all my friends in Florida.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
We have bound that storm now. In
yes.
Jesus
we
name.
Have bound it, and it's nothing but a little bit of raindrops, and
Amen.
It must diffuse and disappear.
Amen.
I'm in 15. Then they came to Jesus, saw the one who'd been demon-possessed, and had the legion. Look at this. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now, I want you to say this. He embraced the love of the truth.
He embraced the love of the truth.
He embraced the love of the truth. And he was set free from 1,000 demons. The Father sent Jesus all the way across that lake through that storm to make that man free and deliver that whole region from that demonized man and to drive those demons out of that park. That is exactly what Jesus is going to do with you and I.
Amen.
And we've got to be able to see that, and we got to be able to function in it, and we got to be able to tell that's the devil, and you get out of that person's life and be strong. Let's keep reading. Those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from the region, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him, Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. That's got to be the desire of your heart and mine every day, that we would be with Jesus. Look what Jesus said. Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And when Jesus came back to this region the next time, that man's testimony got many people born again. How awesome is that story for somebody who God rewarded because they diligently seek him? Most people don't tell the story of the Gadarene demoniac as though he was somebody that was seeking Jesus. And yet he really was seeking him. Because as soon as Jesus got out of the boat, he ran to Jesus and worshiped him. What was he seeking? He was seeking to be set free. He was seeking to get rid of that demon. Over and over, people who have a demon are like, thank you, Jesus. I am so glad that you set me free from that demonic force that had control of my life. Our place, we got to learn to be bold. Call it a demon. Cast it out. Tell it to leave and never come back, just like Jesus did. All of tonight's lesson is, let me get my exact wording. All of tonight's lesson is the joy of seeking Jesus and actually finding him. There's a whole lot of people that seek church and seek a religious experience. But there's a whole lot fewer people who actually are seeking Jesus, rejoicing when they find him. And what did he say to the children of Israel? You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:11, 12, 13, and 14. You know, for a decade, everybody knew Jeremiah 29:11 for a decade. But I'm going to tell you, I've not been excited about Jeremiah 29:11 as much as I've been about 12, 13, and 14, because it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I know a lot of Christians who quoted Jeremiah 29:11 that God gave them a future and a hope, and they don't have none of it because they never sought him diligently and consecutively and specifically, so that they could actually know Jesus and not just a religious experience. The joy of seeking Jesus and actually finding him. Now, I still have another couple references of people who sought God and found him, but we'll save them for tomorrow night and we'll hit this again, because you and I, in the day we live, have got to break off all religious indoctrination, because it is limiting us from knowing God mm-hmm. and being one with God. Jesus said, be careful how you receive the word. Because if you give yourself to the word distracted, you're going to understand a distracted word. If you give yourself to a word that's offended, you're going to live with offense. So you got to give yourself to this word and say, wait a minute, pastor can see it in these verses. I'm going to grab these verses because they stood out to me and they spoke to me very specifically and very, very life transforming. And I'm going to chase after these verses of scripture. And it'll transform your life. I'm going to tell you the one I chased after is the parable of the sower, because Jesus said in the parable of the sower, this is the greatest parable. If you don't understand this one, you can't understand any of the rest of them. And I'm going to tell you, when I first started studying it and reading it, I didn't understand it. I didn't have the revelation of it. I had to read it in Matthew, read it in Mark, read it in Luke, go back and read it again. I had to listen to message after message after message after message of it. I probably gave myself diligently to continually study that for 2 years. And then one day I heard a man preach a message. January 7th, 2020. Remember, his name is Ed. Remember that? He was preaching at Nancy Dufresne's beginning of the year revival. And he preached out of Mark. It's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. Well, my goodness, Dr. Barclay had preached them verses and the verses out of Proverbs to me my whole time of growing up and being established in the kingdom and in the church and in the, as a ministry. And that day, all of my study and searching after God came to life, and I realized, hold it, it's not up to anybody else's revelation how much I get from God. It's up to how much I chase God, and God's the only one that can judge my chase. No, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about my chase of God from this day forward. Why? Because you don't know how I'm studying God. You don't know how I'm chasing after the things of God. Me, myself, and I, and Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit only are the only ones that know how hard I chase God. You might look at me and say, wow, pastor's really studying the word. You might do that. But you won't know. And this is what's amazing. I won't know how hard you study either. Except you'll see it in my life. And I'll see it in your life. And we will rejoice together. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. God said to through Jeremiah, you will seek me. And you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. The demoniac is in the graves, in the tombs, saying, God set me free. Demonized people are saying, God set me free every single day. And that's why God takes you to them so that they can be set free in the things of God. Let's pray. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you right now. Lord, I thank you for these great disciples, these great believers that are with us here at Community of Faith. I thank you for every person that will come in the future, and they'll see this video, and they'll be like, what are these guys doing? And they will catch the fire, catch the joy, catch the burning zeal of God that burns in our heart to know who you are. You said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and therefore we will know them. We will know the exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. We'll know it. That same Spirit that raised you, Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, giving us life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And touch down. And hallelujah. And glory be to God. Has anybody else got an amen?
Amen. I said amen.
Amen. There you go, fellas. Amen. 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 Sing it over. Amen. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you guys are fantastic.
This is good for your soul. This is good for your spirit. This is good for your body. And if you got sickness, this is a healing room. And we speak life and life more abundantly. Hey, did anybody see Mary tonight?
I beg your pardon, what?
Did anybody see Mary tonight?
No. I don't think so.
Mary, Pastor Rick, we missed you. But we didn't want to miss you in any sense of the word. And so we speak life to you. We speak healing in your body and your soul and your spirit and in your heart. May that heart grow and be developed just like Dr. Winston said the other night, to the heart of a 16-year-old. Claim that promise. That's what he said was available. We speak life to you. Speak life to Matt and Kathy Angaroni. All of our friends, our listening audience, those of you in Kazakhstan, God bless you. How amazingly wonderful is that? In Jesus' name. Well, this is the time in every one of our programs where we receive the communion elements together. This is our process, how it works. I'm going to read the verses out of the book of Corinthians that the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to share them with you as he's teaching us about communion. And then when we're finished, we'll pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, so that we're certain everybody here has the opportunity to be right with God. Whether you've been born again before or this is your first day, you'll be right with God. Give you a couple minutes of instruction, and then we'll receive the communion elements together. That's our process. That's what we do every time we come here. And there is Juliana. Woo! Welcome, welcome, welcome. Shalom to you. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered from you to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Watch. Verse 28. Let a man and a woman, and then he did, examine himself And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I don't have to judge you. You don't have to judge me. We judge ourselves. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. I like boldness. Don't you like boldness?
Yeah.
Why? Because when somebody's judging you, you get to be bold. I didn't do that, wouldn't do that. I'm walking with God. It don't matter who believes you. Walk with God. Don't ever resort to humanity. That only leaves you confused. Why can we be bold? Kind of preaching. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. Love has been perfected among us in this. Why? How? Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. There is no fear in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, that verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 11 says, if you eat this bread, drink the cup in an unworthy manner, you'll be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But then Paul says, but let a man examine himself. That's how you make yourself worthy. I say this so often because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If you show up to communion and you certainly, truthfully look to heaven and say, Father, I need you in my life, not only now, but every day. You are now worthy to receive the communion elements. Why? Because he will reward those who diligently seek him. And he don't need you going away from the blood and the body. He needs you coming to the blood and the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, the prayer of hallelujah. I'm a child of God and faith comes by hearing. Write me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John
3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Here's where you make your statement. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day for me and my family and your family.
Put your hands out and say, I receive all of your love, your mercy, and your grace.
I receive all of your love, your mercy, and your grace.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I heard somebody say right then, Pastor, do you really think that I could have all of the fullness of God? No, I don't think that. I know it. I know it because it says it in the Bible over and over that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants for you. Man, that's just so different than what they taught me at my church. Well, we all know that. And many of us came from them kind of church too. But here's the reality. You don't have to be that anymore. God wants you to have every bit of him. And what just happened to you right now? You have become a partaker of the very divine nature of God right now. You said, Jesus, come into my life. All of his love, mercy, grace, and righteousness just filled you. It filled you. When God fills you, there's no room for anything else. You're just full. You're full of God. Say it. I'm full of God.
I'm full of God.
And if you don't like the English, say, I have become filled with God. Because that's what just happened. Now, how do I live being a Christian, Pastor? I don't even know. Does somebody have a book? Well, the greatest book you're going to have to walk with God is this one. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Reread it, reread it, reread it, reread it, and then get connected to our Read the Word. It starts in the book of Genesis and comes all the way through the Bible chronologically. It's an amazing study that lasts about a half an hour a day until we get back here into the prophets, and then it seems like it's lasting about 35, 40 minutes, but it's a great, great study that you could use every single day to study the Word of God, and you'll grow in God like you've never grown before. You truly will. And it'll be a blessing to you. You can find that on YouTube under my name, Samuel J. Cottle. Search Read the Word playlist. And you'll see it right there. Make sure you click that little plus button on the left side of your screen, and that'll add it to your playlist in your YouTube channel that you have if you are able to watch YouTube videos. Now, stick with us because we're going to teach you how to walk with God. Some things are taught and most things are caught by the revelation of what we say. You hear it and you're like, oh, Pastor said that, and it hits you. That's how it is with me. I've had so many revelations in the last 10 days. It has been absolutely amazing what God has taught me. Why? Because I'm seeking to have absolutely everything I can have of him. Wake up in the morning. This is your assignment. When you're looking up at that ceiling, laying in your bed, just say, Father, help me walk with you today. And he will. Stop at lunch.
Every morning.
And say the same thing. Stop at supper. Bless your food. Say the same thing. When you lay down in bed at night and you're looking up in that dark just before you fall asleep, say it. Thank you for helping me walk with you today. How did I do? You know what will happen? He'll begin to talk to you. And he'll remind you of something that happened in the day. And some of them will be, wow, that was awesome. Yeah, I remember that. Other times, if you had a bad attitude or you said some harsh word, he'll remind you of that. Why? So you can fix it the next day. Not be that way. And he will help you walk with him. In Jesus' mighty name. Stick with us. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. I don't get a single thing out of it when you do it, except the opportunity to disciple you, which is what Jesus told me to do, is go into all the world and make disciples. And that's what we do right here at this program every single day of the week in one way or another. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements together. Get you some grape juice and bread and water, and receive communion with us. Here we go. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotion. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying in my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community. And right here in this community of faith. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his broken body tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You endured the cross, despising the shame. And the Bible said, he called it all joy. Thank you. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood,
by the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force.
On
the face of this earth.
On the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. And I thank you for it. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to your throne, Father. Where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I overcome every time. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over. And cannot be on me or my family. I love it. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And it is forever. There is no more condemnation in my life. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or anything that looks like one.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his blood shed tonight.
Blood of Christ. Glory, glory.
Wow. You know, you and I have found such the answer that we have the ability to give anybody the hope that if they just stick with us for even a short period of time, your life will change forever. You don't have to do all the talking that everybody here does, but you're welcome to. Come right on in and be a wonderful part of this. And we thank you for it. Well, I want to sing the same song we sang last night. That is Glory to His Name. You ready? Glory to His Name. Glory to His Name. Glory to his name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. That's amazing. I love that song. I love the song that you and I sing on a regular basis here, and we just worship the Lord. And, you know, the farther we go into this, the more I hope other pastors around the world will gain the courage and the boldness to do this very same thing. It's very simple to do this, Pastor. Blog Talk Radio channel costs you $39 a month for 2 hours, 7 days a week. They do all the archive. It's simple. It's simple. Zoom costs you about $125 a year. And YouTube costs you nothing. Well, I pay the $12.99 because I like YouTube Red, but it doesn't even really cost you anything. And you can broadcast just like this to your people and to anyone who's around you. And it'll be a blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Sister Phyllis, read us our Revelation verse, or our Jude verses, if you will. Our closing verses of the day.
All righty. Let me get my magnifying glass handy. Thank you so much. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And I also
Amen.
Like to read Revelation 1, 5, and 6.
Amen.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and kings and priests, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Say it with me. I am a king.
I am a king.
I am a king.
And I am a priest unto God.
I am a priest.
And I am a priest unto God.
Hold your hands out and say, I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
As a seed into this ministry.
As a seed into this ministry.
And according to Mark chapter 10. I have a hundredfold return. That Jesus promised me. I receive it into my life so that I can use it on this earth to preach the gospel until Jesus comes.
And so Jesus
mighty name.
Amen.
And I can't wait. Amen. Amen.
Great amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Well, that's it, guys. Until we see you again tomorrow morning right here for prayer at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. This is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
God loves you.
And Jesus is.
Lord. And Jesus is Lord.
We will see you.